Today's message is by Pastor Stan with part two of Stewardship Principles.
Thank you, Joel. Next week, not this coming week, but next week, the following week, I'm going to be heading out to the pastor's retreat. Every year we have it at the end of January into February this week. This year it's a little bit later, so I'll be in Mount Hermon. Pastor's retreat is going to be at Mount Hermon, so I'm looking forward to that. So next Sunday, Pastor George Nagato is going to come and speak. I first got to meet George a long, long time ago, and I was at a pastor's retreat that Hawaiian Island Ministries would put on. And one of the things that one of the ways that Dan Chun was kind of talking with George, and George had just finished getting his doctorate of ministry. So he told everybody that George just got a demon. So he said, okay, what are we going to do with that now? Okay, so maybe we have to exorcise it or something. Anyway, so we just had a lot of fun. If you've ever been to these pastor's retreats, the ones that Hawaiian Island Ministries have put on, it's crazy. You'd think, are these guys pastors? But it's a lot of fun. That's when I got to know him. And he's going to be speaking next week. So today we are going to be continuing just one more time for actually the 2 weeks from today as well. I'll finish up this next section on stewardship. So the following Sunday after that, I will speak on a topic that you'll be very, very interested in. It's the second part of Luke's chapter 16, and it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. If you haven't read that, I'd encourage you to go ahead and read that because it's very, very instructive. It's one of the best pictures we have of the difference between heaven and hell. And so we want to get an idea of that because there's a reason Jesus tells us these stories. Today, however, we're going to be going into Stewardship Principles, Part 2. And I don't know if your notes says Part 2. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open up to that. I remember for quite some time I was one of the managers at a financial institution, and we had like 30 to 40 agents. And one of the things that I had to do, I had the unenviable task, of receiving the agents in the morning. The new agents had to come in, and they had to check in and get ready to go and start making their phone calls. And before this time, they had a certain amount of time to get everything going. And it was, I call it unenviable, because you're always chasing after somebody. Just being able to steward their time and asking them, okay, how's your sales going? And I had to stay on top of them constantly on things. And it's kind of tiring. It's kind of fatiguing for this. But I was always really glad when you had certain conscientious agents who would come in. They would come in before they're supposed to come in, get all the things ready, and then by the time they came in, they were ready to go. And then you have all these people that were straggling in and then sitting there and then ready to go, and then an agent gets up, and instead of starting to make calls and things, they would go ahead and go get a drink of water. And so... You know, there are a lot of different people that you have to deal with. I'm just trying to think of how Jesus dealt with people in the world here. But we're talking again about today about a manager and how do we manage our property. The beginning of chapter 16 in Luke, Luke points out that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is speaking to his disciples, and he tells them this story. This story is of a manager, sometimes called shrewd or crafty, sometimes he's called dishonest. And so the question is, which one is it? Because the shrewd part and not so much crafty, but strategic, that's not a bad term. But dishonest is a bad term. And so which is it with this guy? Is he is Jesus saying this is a commendable guy or not? And so last week we spent some time understanding what God was saying about this manager. We found out that what Jesus was saying, that this manager knew that he was being fired, and so he was going to be fired. He was going to come up to this place eventually, and he knew he was entering a place that he was going to have some difficulties. And the shrewdness was, he, even though he did some dishonest things, he was very strategic about this, and he planned for the future. And the idea of this was, he planned for the future, and so because of that, he was called, he was commended, because he knew there was an end coming to this world he was living in, and he was going to be entering another world. And likewise, we're all coming to an end of our world, which is our existence in this realm, in this earthly realm, and we're going to be going into a place that is going to be another realm. And so the lesson for us, the takeaway for that, is that we can plan in this world in such a way that we will be ready for the next world. And one of the most astounding things that Jesus says about this is that you can make friends. You can make friends for yourself in eternity. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Now, it's wonderful. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit dwelling with us, and the heavenly kingdom, streets of gold, and all these descriptions of heaven. And Jesus, in this particular parable in Luke 16, emphasizes friends. Make friends, eternal friends. And so, and we can use the resources we have here, specifically resources, the financial resources and wealth that we have here, to make friends in heaven. And today we have a couple of very simple thoughts, that a number of principles that we have to cover, and Jesus goes over this, after which there will be a kind of an application. How does this apply in our lives or the Pharisees' lives? So with that, why don't we go to our Lord in prayer and ask Him for insight. Lord, we recognize that as Jesus told parables and stories, that they're chock full of meaning. And it takes some thinking about it to unpack what's going on. Father, I pray that You give us insight today into Your Scriptures. According to Your Holy Spirit, Your Word says that Your words are spiritually discerned. So, Father, we ask for Your Holy Spirit discernment today to see beyond the simple things that are there, to see deep things that connect with us even today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share this context at this point, because we're going to go into it in just a bit and re-mention this, but I want to share this at this point because we have Jesus speaking to the disciples here, but it's very important that we know that, so there's a group of disciples here, Jesus is speaking to them, but there are some Pharisees on the side. There's some Pharisees on the side listening in on what's going on. Jesus is probably not whispering to the Pharisees. He's probably talking maybe like this, or maybe louder, because he doesn't have a headset microphone like I do. So the Pharisees are going to hear. They're listening in, and as they're listening in, they heard the parable, and they're also hearing what Jesus is about to say here. And Jesus begins speaking about the character of a steward. The character of a steward, if you have your notes, take that out. And the very first one we want to talk about is the character of a steward is faithful, even with little. Faithful even with little. Okay, so you can write that into your notes page there. The word is faithful. And let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. 10 and 11. By the way, aren't these projectors nice and bright now? Isn't that great? Yeah, sorry for that interlude, but I just got to say thanks to John and Bill and Martha, too. She was supervising. No, I'm just kidding. For installing new projectors. Isn't that great? Oh, nice and bright. Okay, that's stewardship of our money. And going to get the word out. All right, so now we can see the word clearer. Okay, so let's read that together. Luke 16, 10 and 11. Ready, go. Whoever is faithful with very little will also be faithful with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If then you have not be faithful with worldly wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful with the belongings of another, who will give you belongings of your own? In this character trait of faithfulness, we realize that trust is gained by being trustworthy. And if you're trustworthy with something, you tend to give more trust toward that person. If a person's not trustworthy, you tend to give less things to trust that person with. Now, what we're seeing here is that we see that whoever's faithful with very little and very much, unfaithful with very little and very much. And he says, if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth is equated with very little. True riches is equated with heavenly wealth, heavenly possessions. So all of the things that you and I have here, in Jesus' mind, and Jesus knows quite a bit of things. He said, the stuff you have here is very little. This is small potato stuff, guys. And so if you're faithful with these little things, you will one day be given true wealth or eternal wealth. And so that's one of the main ideas here. And the amount here really isn't relevant. It isn't relevant. You have probably seen a person who is wealthy and untrustworthy. And you wonder, how can that be? Or you've seen a person who's very poor and very trustworthy. What he's talking about is not the amount that you have in this world, but the character trait of being faithful, of being trustworthy with the little bit that you have. And so your track record, Jesus says, follows you. Your track record follows you right into heaven. And Richard Beck wrote an article, and it's he talks about a friend of his that he had a conversation with, and it begins like this. A friend gave me a fan. That's how Willie started his story as we were sharing during the Bible study I led at the prison. Having a fan is a big deal. The prison is not air-conditioned, and during Texas summers, when the temperatures climb to over 100 degrees for weeks and weeks on end, the prison becomes a stifling sweatbox. Some of the chaplains that teach classes in the prison cancel classes during the summer months because of the heat. The inmates live with it 24/7 throughout the entire summer. The only relief is a bit of air movement provided by a small fan. A small fan, however, costs money. And not everyone has money. Willie didn't have money. So the gift of a fan in the middle of a summer was a pretty big deal and a big relief. And the trouble was, the fan was contraband. Prisoners can't give or receive gifts like that, so Willie's fan broke the rules. Still, it was not like he was hurting anyone, right? The contraband in question wasn't drugs or anything like that. It was just a fan, for goodness sake. But one day, while studying his Bible, Willie came across these words, "If you can't be faithful in the little things, how can you be trusted with big things?" Willie became convicted. The fan broke his rules. It was a little thing, to be sure. But Willie wanted to be faithful, even in the little things, maybe especially in the little things. And so, Willie concluded his story, "I threw the fan away." The room listened, stunned, in silence. He what? He threw the fan away? it was barely conceivable, beyond moral horizons, someone would be that obedient in the face of the kind of sufferings he would have to endure. I didn't mind being hot, Willie continued. I was able to share in the sufferings of Jesus. Wow. Willie looked at me and smiled, gold teeth flashing. I was free inside. I was happy. It's amazing. This prisoner's faithfulness gave him freedom. And God looks us that way, looks at us that way as well, and says, I will be able to trust you with more. So, the first character trait Jesus is talking about is faithfulness. The second one is devotion. Devoted especially to God, actually only to God. Devoted only to God. That's your second point in the outline. If you can write that in your notes. And it's the second and only point, really. Only other point. Luke 16:13. Let's go ahead and read this together. Ready, go. No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I'm not sure how many of you really meditate upon this verse, but it's a rather involved verse. And Jesus points out that there must be one master and only one master over everything. And he's speaking specifically about money in this case. But I want to offer two different models or paradigms or views in which we can look at priorities and see if it can be helpful to us in making sure that we're devoted to God and only God. Not just God as one of many things to be devoted to, but God and only God. Let's take a look at the first one. The first one is called the ladder model. Many of you have seen this, you've heard it before. We put God first, is the saying. God first, family second, works third, and self fourth. And so that's one way. This is a very helpful model. Whenever push comes to shove and we're trying to figure out which one of these priorities we need to fulfill, the hard part about life, right, is it's easy to say, but when values collide, and they do that in real life, values, you have conflicting values. How do you live that out? Sometimes this model can be very helpful. Maybe you're spending too much time with your family for God, or too much time for work for your family and not serving your family. Maybe you're too self-absorbed in yourself and you're not giving work, family, or God the attention it's due. That's very helpful, okay? But there's another way to look at it, and let's take a look at that. It's called the steward or stewardship model. And I like to look at our priorities. I prefer to look at our priorities this way. I actually use both ways, but I prefer to look at it this way, where God is the center of everything I do. God is over church, over work, money, quiet times, our family, rest. Any one of these things without God can become an idol in itself. Even your quiet time, by the way, can become an idol in itself if you're not careful. And so when we have a model like this, it says that God is over everything. So if I go to the store and I have to buy some groceries, God is over that. If I have to go to work, I'm going to work because I'm providing a fruitful employment, and I'm providing for my family, I'm providing so I can give, but that is under God. If I go to church, that is under God. In my involvement, I'm always coming back to God and saying, God, what do you want in every single thing we do? And so there is no one model. In fact, we're not here to adhere to any model, because really the idea is to really get devoted everything to God. If you look in the model on the right, God is the only thing you're really devoted to. And you do everything else in response to God, in service to God. Even investing money, even your play is done in devotion to God. So there is only one master. And so I offer this as a way to think about how do you be devoted only to God? And which causes a conflict. I have talked about this with many, many people. And so I've offered this model to many, many people. In fact, I've spoken about this before. But this is a good reinforcement for that. So Jesus highlights two character traits, faithfulness and devotion to God. And then he turns to the Pharisees and applies it to the Pharisees. So Jesus was talking to his disciples here. And then the Pharisees, it says in Luke 16, were standing on the side and they were snickering at him. They were sneering at Jesus. So then he turns to the Pharisees. So Luke chapter 16, it says, the Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. So the Pharisees are right there. And so now, instead of talking to his disciples, Jesus now turns to the Pharisees and says, okay, I'm going to talk to you guys now. Ooh, a little scary when that happens, right? Very scary. So now the audience changes, and we find that Jesus brings up quite a few things. He criticizes them for greed. He criticizes them for pride. He criticizes them for legalism. And he criticizes them for rationalizing sin. A lot of things, real quickly, greed. If all of this stuff belongs to you, then there's nothing wrong with stewarding a lot of things. But if you begin hugging that thing and your heart becomes consumed with that thing, like money, like that guy over there, then that's greed. We got to be careful about this because Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:10, he said, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You guys know that. Love of money. He didn't say the stewardship of money. He said the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Secondly, pride. Let's take a look at pride. So it says here that the Pharisees, they loved money, but he also says this in Luke 16, 15. He says, why don't we read this together? He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. So Jesus is painting a picture of two very different value systems, the value of the world and the value of God. What people value highly, the things of the world, we value all these kinds of things, but God, to that God, it's detestable. And the Pharisees love to justify themselves before people. They wanted people to say, hey, you're right, you're terrific, you're good, huh? You're fantastic. But they're not asking, God, was that okay? You know, how did I do? Was that okay, God? How's my attitude? Is it right? And so there are a lot of ways this can manifest itself. Just looking at the tangible needs of the church, there are things like changing toilet paper. There are things like plunging the toilet. After one elders' meeting, I was working on minutes and things, and Daniel was downstairs, and he was getting some things ready from the kitchen. And then I said, hey, what you doing down there? And he said, I'm clearing this toilet. I'm trying to plunge this toilet because somebody didn't flush it. And it took a while. Let me just say, it took a while. And I could smell that it took a while. So the reality is those are the kinds of things. Someone with less character than Daniel would have said, oh, it's late. I've got to go home. Let somebody else take care of it. But it was Daniel, and Daniel's not that kind of guy. So picking up bits of trash all over the place, some people say it's beneath me. That's for somebody else to do. Our private spiritual life, where nobody sees, we're not going to give a devotion or give a teaching or anything. Are we going to spend our time with God? Are we doing it to gain recognition from people? Or are we doing it because we love God? Because God is our audience. Legalism. Legalism. I'm going to just pass over that one. One of the most important ones here is rationalizing sin. Rationalizing sin is a really difficult one because it is probably the most, I would say the most hideous. Because if we don't rationalize sin, if we're just guilty about something, we can confess it, we can say, I'm guilty. Oh, God, Father, forgive me. I really jammed up. But if we have a good reason why we did that, then guess what we just did? We made sin okay. When I was young, when I was a kid, I wasn't a believer, but my motto was, if you don't get caught, then it's not wrong. That was my motto. Hard to believe, yeah? I tell my story in the past, and people say, you're like that, wow. So there's hope for you. There's hope for everybody. Okay, so obviously I don't live by that anymore. I'm going to speak on this and pick up on this when we get back together in 2 weeks, because there's a lot to this one that I'd like to go up over. So let me just bring it into a landing here. One of the things that Jesus is talking about here primarily is it's really all about money and how we spend our money. Sometimes we hang on to money because we're so insecure in this world. But Jesus says, if you lay up your treasures in heaven, you will have treasures in heaven. If you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all the things you need here will be given to you as well. And when He gives you other things after you're seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, guess what? You can use those things on the things that are enjoyable to you. It will all be done under the umbrella of God as a steward. Let's go to Him in prayer now. Our Father, we thank You for the very pointed and strong words of Jesus. I will just speak for myself. I'm just in awe all the time when I hear how Jesus speaks so directly to people. And I realize I'm not that direct. I hem and haw, and I try to go around the topic. But Jesus speaks so directly, and as He does, Lord, people become convicted of their sin, turn away from it, and follow You. Father, I pray, Lord, that the words that Jesus spoke would convict us so that we can turn away and follow You and find that when we do things Your way, we find true joy because now our lives are aligned in a way that You intended. And when we operate in the way that You intended, oh Father, You bring fulfillment and true fulfillment and freedom when we are faithful with what You've given us and when we are devoted completely to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.